This morning's reading is taken from the New Living Translation. It's Hebrews chapter 13, verses 1 to 21. Concluding words. Keep on loving each other as brothers and sisters. Don't forget to show hospitality to strangers, for some who have done this have entertained angels without realizing. Remember those in prison, as if you were there yourself. Remember also those being mistreated, as if you felt their pain in your own bodies. Give honour to marriage, and remain faithful to one another in marriage. God will surely judge people who are immoral, and those who commit adultery. Don't love money. Be satisfied with what you have, for God has said, I will never fail you. I will never abandon you. So that we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, and I will have no fear. What can mere people do to me? Remember your leaders who taught you in the word of God. Think of all the good that has come from their lives and follow the example of their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So do not be attracted by strange new ideas. Your strength comes from God's grace, not from rules about food, which don't help those who follow them. We have an altar from which the priests in the tabernacle have no right to eat. Under the old system, the high priest brought the blood of animals into the holy place as a sacrifice for sin, and the bodies of the animals were burned outside the camp. So also Jesus suffered and died outside the city gates to make his people holy by means of his own blood. So let us go out to him outside the camp and bear the disgrace he bore. For this world is not our permanent home. We are looking forward to a home yet to come. Therefore, let us offer through Jesus a continual sacrifice of praise to God, proclaiming our allegiance to his name. And don't forget to do good and to share with those in need. These are the sacrifices that please God. Obey your spiritual leaders and do what they say. Their work is to watch over your souls, and they are accountable to God. Give them reason to do this with joy and not with sorrow. That would certainly not be for your benefit. Pray for us, for our conscience is clear and we want to live honourably in everything we do. And especially pray that I will be able to come back to you soon. Now may the God of peace, who brought up from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, and ratified an eternal covenant with his blood, may he equip you with all you need for doing his will. May he produce in you, through the power of Jesus Christ, every good thing that is pleasing to him. All glory to him forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord.
Just like to say, how can a puppet make me cry, Joe? She's walking down the aisle as I say it. Anyway, never mind. Okay, someone tall's been at this stand. I just wanted to say before I started that some of you will know that I moved this week. So I moved Wednesday, Thursday this week. And I found some interesting things as I move, as you often do. I found something that was best before 2012. The irony that I moved here in 2014, which means it moved with me. Lovely. I actually can't remember what it was, but I didn't. I think it was my mum found it. I think it might have been something in the kitchen. But anyway. And then the other thing was that I spent a long time last night making a visual aid out of packing boxes and packing paper, because I've got quite a lot of it. And I left it at home. And I was 15 minutes in my journey near getting towards Rugby, and my dad rang and he went, you've left your visual aid. And we tried to see if we could get it so that I could meet him, but then he couldn't find his sat nav and all of that. And then, of course, all these things when you're moving and you're sort of unpacking, I can't find my printer. I've got no Wi-Fi at the moment, no internet at the moment, so I'm preaching from an iPad. But don't worry, those of you who worry about that, there's like 80% on the battery. So that'll keep us going for quite a while. Shall we pray? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity to worship you, to celebrate you, and to think about what you are saying to us today. And we ask that you would speak to us by your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. As I said, I'd plans to bring this visual aid, and I'll explain what the visual aid was. And the visual aid was a massive box of tissues. And inside I had got packing paper, and I'd written all my points, one on each piece of paper, as if it was massive tissues. But unfortunately, I left it home, and I did it because this week has been a little bit crazy with moving, and normally I would, as you know, do a PowerPoint, but that didn't happen. And I've got a number of little points to make this morning. But never mind, hopefully you will follow me. I have to say, when I was trying to work out what to say today, I went back and forth, and I knew, 20 minutes? How am I going to do that in 20 minutes? There's so much, as many of you will know, I could say. I could talk for England. And I know that I can't say everything. But what I want to do is focus today on what I sort of feel that I've learned during my nearly 8 years here, but also what I feel God has been saying to me over this last couple of weeks. So we're reading the last chapter, or almost the whole of the last chapter of Hebrews, and it might be familiar to some of you because I know that Helen Nemec read out the first few verses of that a couple of weeks ago when we were thinking about how we support Ukrainian refugees. And it just brought to mind for me that passage, and it felt very appropriate. And of course, with Hebrews, we don't actually know who wrote it. It's anonymous. It could be Paul, and at the end of this passage, it does feel a little bit like sort of how Paul would write. But other people have been suggested, Barnabas and others, or other second-generation Christians. Lots of names have been put forward, but it is anonymous. But what we can see is that it's been written and seems to have been written to those who've got a bit of a knowledge of the Old Testament. So it's probably been written particularly to the Jewish people because it's full of imagery. All the way through the letter, it's full of imagery of the sacrificial system in the Old Testament, and particularly imagery from the first five books, the Pentateuch of the Old Testament. And of course, this letter, it uses images to show that Jesus is the great high priest, the one who once and for all sacrificed himself for us. And we'll think a little bit about that in a moment. But I think if we look at this passage, it feels a little bit like the writer to the Hebrews is sort of trying to get everything down that he hasn't managed to write anywhere else. He's saying, right, I just need to just put that in. I'm just going to say that. I'm going to do all of those things. You know the feeling? I do, anyway, quite regularly. and I feel a bit like that. So much is there, isn't it? It's a little bit like a sort of scattergun approach. It's like, oh, must put that verse in. So it sort of jumps around a little bit. Yet if we look carefully, I believe there are two themes that we can take from this passage today, which speak very clearly into what I want to say. So that works. So firstly, I want us to think about how we treat others, because that's clear in this passage. And secondly, about how we relate to God, how we rely on God. So the first thing is about how we treat the body right. And that is not just the body of Christ, the people here, but ourselves as well. Because if we look in this passage, there's something about our own bodies. If we think back to last term, we thought about the letter of Peter, 1 Peter, and we had that theme of holiness throughout that passage. Holiness is really important. And we know that we can't do that on our own, can't we? We can't be holy. We need the Holy Spirit, hence the name Holy Spirit, to be at work in us. But I do believe holiness has an impact on how we treat our own bodies. Because we've been given them. We are a temple of the Holy Spirit, it says elsewhere. And in this passage, there's a very clear theme about marriage. The writer says, honour marriage. Now, you actually might be surprised to hear me say that, because I'm single. And particularly on my final Sunday, you know, I don't often talk about marriage. because I'm someone who actually would much rather personally champion the single person. But in this world where, let's face it, anything seems to go, we as God's people, we need to honour marriage. That means honour those who are married. But I do believe it also means honour those who aren't. Ensure that whatever marital status someone has, however our own marital status is, we need to live our lives in a way that is pure and holy. So I want to encourage you, please look after your marriages, but also look after those who are single. Whether they've always been single, whether they are divorced, whether they are widowed. Let's treat each other right in this way. And that is about honouring the body. It's about honouring marriage. It's about holiness. So let's ensure that we are living holy lives in how we use our bodies, in how we relate to those we love. Secondly, this passage is also about looking after our brothers and sisters. And of course here, we're talking about our brothers and sisters in Christ. And Jo has led us into that brilliantly this morning because she's talked about the fact that we are all family. I think a few weeks ago I mentioned that in a previous church when we said the peace, they would sometimes play the song, "We Are Family," and we'd go around, a little cheesy. But we are family. And that is really important. We are brothers and sisters. And this passage says, keep on loving one another. That's not a one-off thing. That's an ongoing thing. We are to love on and on and on. And I want to encourage you, how might you do that? I love the Message version. It says this, stay on good terms with each other, held together by love. Be ready with a meal or a bed when it's needed. I love that image, held together by love. We've taught in Ephesians about those sort of ligaments that join us all together. We are held together by love. Let's allow that to be the case. And I've been on the receiving end of so much of that here at Christ the King. And thank you so much to everyone who has done that for me. But in some ways, I'm an easy target. What about those you don't know so well? Those who you don't know at all? Those who are different from you? How might you, held together by love, ensure that others are on the receiving end of your care? I've said it many times, but this is for all of us as we care for our brothers and sisters. And of course, when we do that, others see Jesus at work. Sometimes we think that caring for each other is just that, but actually, it is missional. One of the things I've learned over my time of ministry is that when we care for one another, when we do pastoral work, it's about discipleship and mission as well. Because when we care for one another, others see, and they see Jesus. How might you get involved? Continue to do good for one another. Care for the body. Think of Love and Action, for example. They do so much behind the scenes to care for others. Maybe you could get involved. Or suggest people that Love and Action or the pastoral team could support. So, caring for our own bodies, caring for our brothers and sisters. Finally, this passage talks about caring for our leaders. Now, let's face it, being a church leader is not always easy. It is a massive privilege. But it can be really hard and it can be really tiring, especially if you're at the end of complaints and moans. Now, let me just make that clear. I'm not saying that that has been the case. You know, I have had moments when that's been the case, but that's not my overall overarching memory of being here because I felt supported and loved. However, we do need to be careful. We do need to be careful about that. Now, of course, it is right and good that we share our concerns. It's good that we share things like that. But look at what else this passage says in verse 17. It says, have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority, because they keep watch over you as those who must give account. Do this so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no benefit to you. It's interesting, if we look at research, and I think it's probably changed recently, but previous research into job satisfaction has shown two different careers, I'm going to use inverted commas because you'll see why, at the top of that list, and they are pilots and vicars. Now, they earn a very different amount of money. They are very, very different. And I think we can probably imagine why being a pilot is something that brings you lots of job satisfaction. But you might be surprised to hear vicar being up there in some ways. But there is such a great privilege in being able to spend time with people and seeing God at work in them, in serving others. But it can be demanding. And I think at the moment, I'm not sure whether vicar would be one of the top two jobs with satisfaction, because there is a lot of pressure on clergy. Not just on clergy, there's lots of pressure on lots of us, of course. This is where I might cry. So, I want to encourage you to help Rob. Sorry, I've done so well. I want to encourage you to help Rob and the staff team in particular, and of course everyone who oversees, I can't see my words now, those who lead ministry, so that his and their work is a joy, not a burden. I wonder how you might do that. What about responding to emails? Check your spam, because quite a few of our emails end up in that place. Send a message of thanks to one of them. Offer to get involved. I love what the message says. The message puts it like this: contribute to the joy of their leadership, not its drudgery. Why would you want to make things harder for them? You know, I have been so grateful to work with Rob, and it's going to be one of the hardest things to leave. I'll get there, don't worry. Because when you're looking for new posts, especially a vicar's job, and especially a job like mine and as associates, I've made him cry, yes, chemistry is really important. And I know many people have seen us as a bit of a double act. What you might not know is that there are times in staff meetings when we come out with the same thing at the same time, and we'll both quote the same Friends reference and things like that. Please look after him. He is very special. So the writer to the Hebrews asks us to look after the body, to look after our own body, to look after others, to look after our leaders. So the second part of the words I can just about see now is that we are to fully rely on God. The church I was a curate at, they had an all-age song called Frog. Fully rely on God. It would go, I'm not going to sing it, but it was something like, I'm going to sing it, who knows. Fully rely on God, I'm going to trust him with all I've got. I know he will never let me down. There we go, thank you. And go. And there was this chorus line that just went, frog, 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 frog. More, no, that's it. No more, Matt. But we need to fully rely on God. And this passage also talks about that. The first thing it says is that we are to be content with what we have, not be after lots of other stuff. And actually, when I think personally about that, you know, when I was in Manchester, I really struggled being single, really struggled, and for a long time. And actually, when I came here, I was still struggling with that. But I'm in a very different place now. I've learned to be content, as Paul says in Philippians, with the situation that I'm in, which has enabled me to write Securely Single, which launched a year ago last week. And has sold quite a few copies, which is really good. Pray that it sells more. Otherwise, I'm not sure how the website will keep going. And of course, I want to thank you for that, because I did that during my sabbatical. And that was amazing to have that opportunity. I had the contentment. Somehow, I learnt the contentment to apply for a job, which is not what I was looking for. I wasn't looking for another associate's job. I was looking to move north and to be a vicar somewhere. But God had other ideas. And I know that God has been massively in it, Every day almost, I have another confirmation from people I speak to or situations I find. For example, yesterday, the leader of a charity, Christian charity that I'm a trustee of, happened to turn up to do a day away for a church who weren't meeting in their own church, but meeting in the church that is opposite my new house. Just little things like that. That has been almost every day, those sort of things. So I know that because of that contentment of knowing it's okay, that I can fully rely on God, I've ended up through a long journey in a place where I feel that God has led me. Be content. So fully relying on God. Also, keep going, knowing that Jesus is with you, knowing that he will equip you. We can say that because God says it himself. Verse 5 says this, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? I was talking with someone the other day about my last year and the journey I've been on. And I was sharing, I was thinking about the fact that God has kept his word to me. That he has been with me, that he's been my helper. He has equipped me, not in the way that I wanted, but in his way. Isn't that God's way often? It's annoying, but it's the way it is. But I can honestly look back and see how he has led me to the point that I know I've made the right decision. Hard, but the right one. And I believe God is saying it's time for me and for you to step out. Because God is with us and he won't leave us. Shouldn't have looked over there. Anyway. I think this is finally. Now I've got two more very short points. Next one is offer a sacrifice of praise. Worship him with everything. It's so important that we look to Jesus because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He will not change. And it's so important that we never forget why we are here. We are here because it is all about Jesus. This passage is clear about the importance of being aware of sort of strange teachings. And instead of thinking about those, rather relying and being strengthened by the grace that has been won for us by Jesus on the cross. So look to Jesus. Look to the one who died for you once and for all. The one who took your place. The one who became our sacrifice for us. The one who won freedom and forgiveness for us. Who gives us hope. He gives us an eternal city, as this passage puts it. And if that's all true, then surely it should impact every aspect of our lives. The response is to offer a sacrifice, it says. Not one like in the Old Testament, but one of praise. Something that is everything. Life has been pretty hard in the last few years, hasn't it? And for many people, it still is. And it may well be about to be for others. But Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he is worth it all. We've sung that already. He is worth my sacrifice, your sacrifice, our sacrifice of praise. And isn't it interesting that the language is of sacrifice? Because sometimes, let's face it, praising is difficult. We might even do it through gritted teeth. We might do it on a hospital bed or as we're wondering what on earth is happening in the world. A sacrifice demands more from us than we may well be able or willing to give. But Jesus is worth every bit of it. So worship him with everything, not just on a Sunday, but every day. At work, at home, on the school run, at the gym, if you go to the gym, on the train, all those sort of places. Every aspect of our lives, in every aspect, there is something that we can offer Jesus. I wonder, is there anything you are keeping back? Finally then, the writer to the Hebrews says to fully rely on God through prayer. So I want to encourage you, pray for each other, for yourselves, for your leaders. Pray that you are able to live honorably, that you can live holy lives, that you are caring for each other, that you are worshiping God in everything. And I do want to bring out that there is a verse in this passage in verse 19 that says this in my version: I particularly urge you to pray so that I may be restored to you soon. I don't know whether you heard that verse, but I was really conscious of that verse as I was looking at this passage. Now, obviously, that is slightly awkward at this moment, but it reminds me that when there has been a link, there will always be a link. So as we've already heard, I will always be part of your family. I'll sort of be extended family. We are brothers and sisters, and though it wouldn't be appropriate for me to consider returning, I do obviously value your prayers as I start out on this new adventure. So just a couple of words to finish then. You cannot rely on me. You cannot rely on anyone else, because we will make mistakes. We will mess up. We'll forget all of those things because we are fallible. The one person you can rely on is Jesus, because Jesus never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He won't leave you. He won't forsake you. He's a perfect constant, unlike me or others. So look to Jesus. Pray. Worship. Don't lose sight of why you are here. Amen.